Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording in our studio at the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. Today we're going to be talking about the La Mesa mayoral race and speaking with La Mesa Mayor Art Madrid. Art has served as mayor for over 24 years since 1990 and on the council since 1981. He's also served as chair of the San Diego Association of Governments, or SANDAG, and as president of the League of California Cities San Diego Division. Altogether, Art has served on over 125 different boards and commissions. His opponent is Councilman Mark Rapostathos, or Dr. A as he's known. He's a lifelong La Mesa resident, teacher in the La Mesa Spring Valley School District, and has a history of community service that includes running a junior theater program. Now, we invited both candidates to be interviewed on the show, and unfortunately, Dr. Rapostathos has declined to do a radio interview, although he did agree to an interview for our website, and you'll be able to find that posted at eastcountymagazine.org. Mayor Madrid has challenged his opponent to a debate, but Dr. Rapostathos has refused, not only on our show, but to debate him in any forum. Dr. A told me that he has 23 events in 29 days and prefers meeting voters in person by walking door-to-door instead of debating, so you can take that for what you will, but that's the situation. So we're sorry we won't have the opportunity to have both candidates on the radio, listeners, for you to hear, but we are very honored to welcome La Mesa's Mayor Art Madrid to our show. Mayor Madrid, thank you for joining us today.
Miriam, thank you for the invitation.
Now, as we mentioned, you've been in office for many, many years here in La Mesa. What do you consider to be your most significant strengths and accomplishments in office?
Well, without sounding immodest, the things that we've been able to accomplish for the city are tangible issues. For example, more recently, you can look at the three public safety buildings that we have, police station, fire station, and then we have a library and a post office. And then the other things we've talked about is making sure that the infrastructure, and that's something that the public can't see because nine times out of ten it's underground, but the infrastructure is in great shape. Our streets and roads are well maintained. Those are the kinds of things that we do. More importantly, though, I think that I'm a firm believer in giving access to the residents, and to that degree, I've initiated six new boards and commissions since I became mayor, and we have a community involvement. It's called civic engagement, and so we have a number of volunteers that through the years have saved those citizens about $15 million because that's work that we didn't have to pay for. They go ahead and do that work themselves.
Very good. Thank you. A key issue that's distinguishing candidates from one another in this campaign is how they envision the role of the city council and the mayor and what a leadership role actually should look like. Art, can you please define leadership in your view? What does it mean to you?
Well, the mayor itself, the role of the mayor is the chief elected official of the city. And in my capacity as mayor, what we do, all the official documentation, signing, things of that nature. But more importantly, we represent the city and every kinds of activities. And so to that degree, the leadership that we provide is based on your style and based on assessing what the public wants to hear. And more importantly, addressing key issues that the public is concerned about. So leadership is one of being able to listen, to respond in a timely fashion, to collaborate, and to make sure that you can compromise those things because it becomes a better community when you do those things.
I would like to know whether you see the role of mayor as a full-time or part-time position, how many hours you put into the job. And I ask that specifically because your opponent, while he has certainly served on the city council, has a full-time job as a teacher. He also works many night rehearsals, and he has indicated that he believes he can do this as a part-time job with a lot of help from staff. How many hours do you put in on a regular basis, on a typical day, typical week, as mayor, Art? And do you believe that it's realistic to think this can be done in fewer hours?
Candidly, it's labeled as a part-time job, but if you really want to be efficient and effective and provide some leadership and some programs for the citizens of La Mesa, it really is a full-time job. I probably average about 60 to 70 hours a week. That includes the weekends and going to events and functions of that nature. And the one thing that I do is make it a point that every weekend I drive through at least a quarter of our cities. I've broken them down in quarters and drive through there and see just exactly what needs to be done, how things are taking place, and more importantly, make sure that you're there being responsive to the needs of the people. It's difficult to say that it's a part-time job because I average about between 35 and 41 either calls or visits on a monthly basis from citizens who call and want to address a specific issue that impacts them and the city.
Yeah, accessibility is an interesting issue. You mentioned that you take these calls from the public. I could not find contact information on Dr. Rapostathis' campaign website, which begs the question, we'll have to ask him, I guess, of how accessible he will be to the public once he's elected. But I know I've seen you go around town passing out a business card with your cell phone number on it, so you're, I think, exceptionally accessible in terms of public officials.
One of the biggest concerns that the public has is that they can't get hold of their elected officials, or once they get elected, first of all, as candidates and either incumbents or candidates, when they run for office, they're very cordial with the public. They're always mm-hmm. accessible and everything else when they're running for office. Once they get in office, they get calls from the public and they seldom respond. That's not the same issue with me. I make it a point to be accessible because I've asked for their support and I'm now responding to their needs, if you will. The issue is accessibility is probably the most important thing that we have to offer as elected officials. So it's important that we make sure that everybody has access to us, whether dropping by at City Hall or calling us on our cell phone or even our home phone, or even I've had people drop by my neighborhood, mm-hmm. knock on the door and start sharing some concerns, and we listen to them and then take action on them.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. Is there benefit, and if so, what type of benefits in participating in outside organizations such as the League of California Cities, the National Conference of Mayors, or any other organizations? This has been an issue with the council recently where there's been some funding cutbacks. I know you've gone to some of these in the past and there's been some cuts. Do you hope to attend these outside meetings, or do you view this as an area that staff could handle, as some have suggested?
Well, first of all, as an elected official, your responsibility is to represent your city. And there are a number of national and civic and regional organizations where it's critical that we have some elected representation. Now, one of the things that happens is that it's called best practices, for lack of a better word. When you meet with other individuals throughout the U.S. Conference of Mayors or the League of California Cities or the National Conference of Cities, you interact with other elected officials. We all basically have the same challenges in our respective cities. They may be a different priority, but you dialogue and ask them how they've addressed those issues, and you come back with ideas and thoughts that you pass on to staff, and they go ahead and act on those.
Some in council meetings have suggested travel is not needed because the meetings can be done over the phone or by Skype these days. Let technology take care of that for us. Do you agree or disagree?
I disagree. You have to go ahead and, when you're at these meetings, you have to sit down and have dialogues with your colleagues and peers from throughout the country. The issue of dialoguing or having a conversation over the phone or Skype is superficial, and it really doesn't get to the nut of the whole discussion that you're having.
With a city that is fully built out like La Mesa, which is just 9 square miles, redevelopment and infill are very important issues that the council will be facing. We've certainly seen controversies recently over the proposed Park Station high-rise, for example. La Mesa's already seen some major redevelopment. As you mentioned, the brand-new library, the police station, and now the downtown streetscape that's underway. I would like to hear your definition of smart growth and what it means to you. What makes it smart? And how would it fit in with the city, the downtown village, and La Mesa's historic character?
Well, let me add just a little bit of historical perspective. You may see now Fletcher Parkway, where we have Costco and we have the Chili's and we have all those restaurants. That place used to be a underdeveloped, underutilized place, and I took the leadership to make sure that we made that an economic viable program for the city.
I remember it was Quonset Huts and
there were Quonset
carpet
Hut.
Dealers. And
we had, RCP was a brick-and-mortar place,
right.
So we had them there. The only way you could cross from Fletcher Parkway to that development back there was through a railroad car that was our bridge, where they had laid the railroad car on its side, and that's cars went over there. But the reality, getting back to redevelopment currently, it is a city that we have to protect its character and its heritage in terms of what we're going to be dealing with in terms of the height, in terms of the density. Those are the kinds of things that we have to address, and each different project has to be discussed on its own merits.
There you go. There is a concept called placemaking that has to do with creating spaces where people can interact more with the environment. Can you elaborate a little bit about that and your views on that idea?
Placemaking is a new concept. It's been around for a while, but it's a new concept where what you really want to do is encourage the public to interact with each other, to walk in the village and things of that nature. To my perspective, we already have some degree of placemaking in the area. We're now spending $6 million in upgrading the village, the downtown village, which is only five blocks. There's a lot of activity. A lot of people are walking there. Incidentally, because of the things that I've been promoting and safe walk to schools, things of that nature, with about $7 million in budgets, we have been designated by two organizations as the most walkable community in the region. That includes all 18 cities.
That's very, very impressive.
Placemaking really addresses the issues of encouraging people to get out and interact with each other, and even pocket parks, things of that nature.
Okay. What is that streetscape going to include, by the way, when it's done? Can you give us a highlight or two?
We have an example of what it's going to appear like on our webpage, but let me share what we're doing. The downtown village has not been addressed or repaired or any major work in 34 years. We haven't done anything of that. We replaced all the trees, which were creating some huge problems for us. We're replacing all the lighting. We're replacing the sidewalks, and we're replacing the roads and making them much safer. So it's going to be a significant magnet when we finish. It's going to be attracting not only visitors, but it's going to be providing a greater investment for the downtown business community.
Very good. What do you view as the value and the purpose of the general plan and the ordinances, and should they be negotiable, do you believe? And what are some kinds of circumstances where you might think that exceptions could be warranted to the rules?
One of the things, a general plan is mandated by the state, and it's really the blueprint for where you're going. We just finished upgrading our general plan in 2012. What we've done in a case like that is we had all kinds of community input. It's not done by staff or the council. We make sure, of course, we have a voice in that, but we want to make sure that the people who live here have access and give us their version of what a city ought to look like. And to that degree, in this year's general plan, I have been instrumental in adding three new elements to the plan. Plans really have the elements, and you focus on each specific element as to what they're going to be doing. But I had parks and open space, I had sustainability, and we also had health and wellness to those plans.
Okay. La Mesa's been around for 100 years, just celebrated its centennial, and one of the longtime tenants has been Grossmont Center, which recently celebrated its 50th anniversary. But the lease for Grossmont Center is coming up for renewal, and I understand that the original owners, the Cushman family, are taking it over and will be coming before the council soon with whatever plans they have for it. What can you tell us about that, and what is your vision for it, if you have any hand as mayor in sort of guiding what may happen with Grossmont Center? What would you like to see done, and what do you think will be done?
Well, Miriam, I had a very positive working relationship with the Cushman family for the last 40 years. Larry and Steve Cushman, and you're right, the lease is up, and they're going to come back and take it over. In our discussions that we've had with them, this is an issue that's been a very viable project for them. As a matter of fact, it was the second regional shopping center in the county.
Really?
The first one was the Grossmont, was not the Grossmont, but College Campus that they
College
have.
Grove, yeah.
College Grove. It's now the Campus Center, but it was College Grove that was the first one. The Grossmont Center was a second one. And so what we've been talking with those individuals is that we want to make sure that we can accommodate all their requirements for infrastructure, things of that nature.
Yeah, this is an important economic base for La Mesa. Obviously, all of those retail dollars are very critical. Do you believe it's going to stay as a shopping center, or as some have mentioned, is it possible that it could turn into condominiums or something else?
One of the things that they've talked to us in general terms, one of the things they've assured us that they're going to maintain it as a shopping center. The other thing that is being very competitive in the merchandising industry is that more and more people are buying on the internet. Last year, throughout the nation, there was 33% of all the products sold were through the internet.
So how do you compete against that? Is a retail shopping mall still a viable model in this day and age?
What they have to do is make sure that they can accommodate the needs of the public and what the customers are. And there's no doubt that they have indicated to us that perhaps they might want to consider some office space there and some apartments, but there are a number of options for them.
Would that be instead of or in addition to?
In addition to.
Interesting.
Yeah, there are some stores in there that really have slowly but surely lacked the competition that they need, or they have been struggling to survive because of the nature of the business. Mm-hmm. And so those may be the ones that they would go out there and consider. But I don't want to prejudge what they're going to be doing. They're going to be telling us, and we're going to be working with them. And, of course, there is a compromise that we have to address from time to time with them. But they've been very good tenants and residents of La Mesa.
That'll be exciting to see what happens there. In terms of economic development or redevelopment, what are some other ideas that you have for La Mesa in terms of other industries, perhaps, you know, that could bring in some revenues?
One of the things that I did about 3 years ago is that we were looking at some of our ordinances and zoning issues, and I noticed that we had an ordinance that was almost 50 years old that prohibited any microbreweries or any crushing of grapes, things of that nature. So we spoke with the people at San Pasqual, and they had a storefront in the village, but they were doing all their crushing of grapes and processing in Pacific Beach. And when we processed that ordinance, that gave them the opportunity and the desire to move into La Mesa. So they do that, and right now they're doing that in La Mesa. In addition to that, we now have three proposed microbreweries that are coming into the city, and we're supporting them as aggressively as we possibly can.
Craft brewing and wineries are becoming big business for East County, actually. I know Ramona has just exploded. For example, there's 70 wineries up there, wineries and vineyards in Ramona alone now. When we started the magazine, there were maybe 40 in the entire county. And craft brewing, San Diego has developed a national reputation as a leader in craft brewing, according to the various magazines that cover that industry. How big a business do you think this could become for La Mesa?
Well, the issue is that East County in that regard only has maybe one, and I think it just opened in El Cajon. But the reality happens to be that
I think there's a few of them. There's maybe three or four at least that I can think of now, but that just shows how fast it's growing.
They are growing rather rapidly. So I think it has a significant place. You know, people really are very selective in the various products that they drink or whatever the case might be.
Right.
So I think it's an opportunity for them to go ahead and really take advantage of that market.
Mm-hmm. Art, what is your vision for the Civic Center, including a new city hall? You've been outspoken on this. Some of the other candidates have said they don't really see a need for it. Can you explain why this is important to you, to the people of La Mesa, and to the employees of the city of La Mesa?
We have been fortunate tonight. We've struggled very hard, and we worked very diligently to make sure that we had all the new public facilities built brand new. The only thing that we don't have is a new civic center, a new city hall.
Mm-hmm.
And if you walk into that place, you can see just the facade. You have access to the customers, and that's fine. But when you get to the back or the bowels of the building, these employees are working in cubicles that are 4 square feet throughout the whole area. Now, if you may look at the back of the City Hall, we have trailers. One is a temporary trailer that's been there temporary for 24 years. The other trailer, we have two of them. The other one has been temporary for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to provide a work environment for the employees. Now, it's been documented that if you have a good work environment, the productivity of the employees will really significantly increase, and you can see that at the police and fire stations, things of that nature. But that's an old building, and we're spending a lot of money in just maintenance when it could very well be devoted to a new facility. So we're working aggressively on that.
There you go. Is there funding that's been allocated already for that? Or if not, where would you find the funding for it?
Well, Miriam, there is no funding, but this is the beauty if you happen to be a leader and if you happen to be visionary like I like to suggest that we are. We have three major parcels of land in La Mesa that are undeveloped.
Yeah.
Right now, we have invited some people to go ahead and provide some suggestions and recommendations.
So that includes the site of the old police station that was torn down?
Well, that's being debated yet with the state Department of Finance. But we have we have 3.5 acres up there by the Briarcrest Park.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have all that property. I have almost 2.5 acres right behind City Hall. I'm a firm believer in private-public partnerships. Those pieces of land are extremely valuable in terms of its location and its value. My definition of public-private partnership is finding a good developer and will say, okay, we have this valuable piece of land. You can go ahead and build something that accommodates the city or the city wants, but in turn, we also want you to go ahead and either provide us with some revenue or build us a new city hall. And that's exactly where we're going.
There you go. Now, you have been called the Green Mayor for taking the lead on environmental issues and sustainability. I recall years ago you were the first mayor in the region to sign the U.S. Mayor's Climate Change Pledge, for example. You started a sustainability commission. Can you give us a couple more examples of what you have done to foster sustainability for La Mesa? And also, maybe more importantly in this day and age, what more do you believe still needs to be done in that regard?
We have been in the forefront in addressing those issues about the environment. And right now we are really facing an issue that is really critical because a lot of people just dismiss environmental issues. And I'm talking about climate change and its impact on the environment.
So to be very clear, you believe climate change is real and that man is contributing to causing it?
Yes, I do. There are a number of scientific periodicals that are written about the climate change and things of that nature, but eventually they have a significant impact on all communities for that matter. Mm-hmm. Look what's happening with the California right now. We haven't had rain in 1,037 days in
That's
California.
A long time.
We have – the problem that's happening is that there is less water to be used for potable use, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But the reality happens to be that we have to educate the younger kids and the public – as to how to go ahead and protect all those issues that we have that are really kind of a finite product.
Does La Mesa have enough water? Are they in danger of running out of water? And are there steps that should be taken to protect La Mesa's water supply for the future?
Well, one of the things that's taken place is that Helix Water District is a provider of water to all of most of East County. They have
right.
three other agencies. But we work very closely with them. And what we've done to make sure that there are no breaks in our pipes, things of that nature, we've installed brand-new water pipes, water mains, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
They install the water mains. We install the pipes and the
So you're not losing
drains.
Millions of gallons
exactly.
when some pipe bursts.
So the reality happens to be is that there is a significant shortage. We are now into phase two of the drought conditions, and eventually they're going to go and restrict it even significantly more. And the other thing that's going to happen is it could very well be that some of the agencies will have water cops like they do in North County and in the San Bernardino area and in Santa Barbara, and you get fined $500 for every time you abuse the violation of those particular...
But that would not be the city. That would be
no,
the water district
that would
yes. be doing that. Okay. Let's talk about finances a little bit. Can you give us kind of the big picture art on what type of shape the city is in financially? We've been through some rough years where we've seen some local cities just teetering financially. But how is La Mesa doing right now in terms of its revenues and expenses?
We're very fortunate that about 4 years ago, we started enhancing the reserves. Before, we had about 15% of our total budget was in reserves.
Mm-hmm.
Because of recommendations and criticisms by some of the bonding companies that we had, they suggested that we have a 45% reserve base in our budget, and we do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost about $8 million or $9 million in reserves. The other thing, too, about our budget is that we are very frugal in how we do things. And so to that degree, we make sure that we invest only in those things that we don't call it an expense. It's an investment in those products or services or materials that we need. Now, in terms of other finances, the biggest source of revenue for any public agency anymore is now sales tax. In the olden days, it was property tax. So it's important that we go out there and cultivate businesses and attract new businesses into the area. So from a fiscal standpoint from the city, we have a balanced budget. We're in great shape. We have some challenges with our retirement funds, but those are the things we're addressing at this point.
What are your views on pensions and labor agreements? Do you believe they're good the way they are? Are any cuts needed? And if so, where?
You know, that's a topical issue that a lot of people like to discuss without knowing fully well what the benefits mm-hmm. and the liabilities are. First of all, a community is made up of people, and that community is well served through its employee force. We have 254 employees that are the most successful, the most professional employees ever. I'm a firm believer, and I initiated a recommendation that they have a salary increase this year. They had not had a salary raise in 7 years.
Wow.
And yet our employees were committed to go out there and do all kinds of good work.
Yeah, so you believe in rewarding that loyalty.
Absolutely. That's the thing that we have to do to make sure that we maintain those employees. We have actually lost about 7 highly professional individuals who have left for other agencies simply because they were provided a better salary increase, you know.
Yeah, okay. Another source of revenues for the city is grants. Can you tell us about what experience you have in identifying or writing grants that have successfully funded, and how important is it to have somebody at the helm with that experience, in your view?
Well, you talked earlier about the various things that we do, attending meetings at the national level.
Yeah.
That is exactly where you learn what these grants are being discussed or made available. And so from my perspective, the Safe Route to Schools grants is something that I learned about at a U.S. Conference of Mayors in Miami about 8 years ago. I came back to staff and suggested, I've never heard this before.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that Caltrans has these monies. Let's talk about it. So as a result, we have, as I mentioned before, we have picked up about $3.5 million in Safe Route to Schools, which means we're putting in new sidewalks, things of that nature. The other issue is dealing with SANDAG. If you happen to be on the board and you're aware of all the various monies that SANDAG is allocating, you have to make sure that staff applies for specific grants. In that particular case, we've probably picked up about $7 million in grants through SANDAG in the last maybe 7 years. Those are the kinds of grants that we really need. And it's important because revenue is very finite from different sources. The state keeps cutting back some of our opportunities to make money. So grants are always available, but you have to scan the environment to make sure that you're there and getting your fair share.
The mayor's race is, in theory, a nonpartisan race. Both you and your opponent happen to be registered Republicans. La Mesa now has a strong majority of Democratic registration, interestingly. How important do you believe it is to reach across the aisle? And also, we should note, your opponent sought out and got the endorsement of the Republican Party. What are some of your major endorsements, Art?
Well, first of all, in terms of endorsements, I think what you really have to do is you have to seek out those individuals who can be beneficial to your community and the residents, not just political parties. Now, I'm very honored to have the endorsement of Tony Atkins, who is the Speaker of the Assembly.
Right.
The fourth most powerful office. I have the endorsement of our Assemblywoman, Shirley Weber. And I also have the endorsement of the leadership for SANDAG, Jack Dale, who's a chair. And mm-hmm. we have Jim Janning, who is the first vice president, and
so Don
Higginson.
Bipartisan. That's a strong bipartisan endorsement. You've mentioned both Republicans and Democrats among your endorsers.
Well, it's key to make sure that you don't commit yourself to subscribing to a principle or philosophy that is espoused by just a political party. So what you wind up doing, if you just focus on one particular party, you wind up disenfranchising the balance of the other community members who aren't of that political faith, if you will.
Okay. Art, you have stated that if you're elected, this will be your final term of office. What do you most hope to accomplish if you're reelected as mayor of La Mesa?
I want to make sure that we go ahead and maintain the professional staff that we have right now. Mr. Witt has been under tremendous pressures to go ahead and subscribe to certain guidelines that some of the council members want. To his credit, he's steadfast in saying we can't do that.
So the city manager.
The city manager. The other thing I want to make sure is that we wind up developing those projects that we have at this point that are vacant land. More importantly, to go ahead and provide the employees with a good workplace in a new civic center, a new city hall.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, again, is to go ahead and make sure that the character of this community is not destroyed through unwarranted development.
There you go. And that certainly is important to all of the people who live in La Mesa as it enters its next 100 years.
Yes.
Are there any issues we haven't specifically discussed that you believe are important to the city and that you would like our listeners to know about, Art?
Well, I would want the voters to judge our past history, our records, and our qualifications, and then find out just exactly what our vision for this community has been and is. Those are the kinds of things that I go ahead and lay before the public. Accessibility is really critical. The public can go ahead and reach me anytime they want. We're open to discussions. We meet with them on a daily basis and on a weekly basis. So those are the kinds of things. I bring a record of accomplishments, and those are the qualifications that I offer the public, accessibility, and their voice is I'm very concerned about those things. I represent them. I represent 100% of all the residents, not just members who are of a political faith or of a certain perspective or view.
Thank you very much. Listeners, we have been speaking with the mayor of La Mesa, Art Madrid. Art, thank you very much for joining us here today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ.
Miriam, thank you for the invitation.